This is IA Forward, your playbook for success as an independent insurance agent. Here to help you knock it out of the ballpark are your hosts, Shane Tatum and Tanya Lead.
Welcome to IA Forward. Shane, on a recent podcast, you brought up the idea of leadership versus management. And most people use those terms synonymously. But in my world and in your world, those words mean really different things.
They're completely different things, and they're getting more and more separated. Over the last couple of decades, there's been this really heavy leadership kind of push, leadership development, leadership skill sets, and that follows several decades going way back of the management kind of development, management mindset. And it over time, that we learned that those things are way different. We happen to grow up in a time, I believe, where we saw this sort of rise in leadership development coming out of the failures of management in that leadership capacity. And so I would define management as the people that get things done, the people that make things work, the make sure things are efficient, make sure things are moving in the right direction, implementing the vision. And the leadership side is casting the vision, setting the culture, making sort of these high level strategic decisions of looking constantly over the horizon and realizing that we need to go left or right or straight forward, depending on what's coming at us from different parts of the economy, different parts of our marketplace, etc.
The Google agrees with you. It says that management consists to accomplish a goal. Their management is looking at systems and structures, where leadership focuses on people. It's an individual's ability to influence, motivate, and enable others to contribute toward the organizational success. As a solopreneur, you have to be both for yourself, which can be hard.
You absolutely have to do both as a solopreneur. You have to lead, you have to manage. And the reality of this is, yes, they're hard, but it's doable. And when you really get down to this, how do you do that, Shane? Like, how do you wear both of those hats? Do this in life already. Your relationship with your spouse is different than your relationship with your children. The way that you approach different things in your life almost sets you up to succeed here, as long as you understand that they are two different things. If you don't cast your own vision for where you want to be, then you can set up process after process. You can try to be as efficient in executing your stuff and doing all these things. And then you look up and you don't even know where you're going. You can management yourself to death. At the same time, you can lead yourself into this never-ending projecting success world of big picture visions and all these things. And if you don't have a management approach, then you're never actually going to get anywhere. And so they do work together. That's why they work together well in a business when you're more than one person. But as a single person business starting out, you have to have that thought process of being both and setting it up so that as you add more people in the future, it's just not a total starting over kind of thing.
The company that I worked for forever, I will go to my grave hearing our owner on Tuesday mornings say, management team to the conference room, please. Management team to the conference room over the intercom. And all of us that were members of the management team would get up and wander into the conference room. I'm not quite sure why he had to tell all of us that, because the meeting was like at 9 o'clock on every single Tuesday, but he would make the announcement that it was time and we would all go. And I could remember sitting in this meeting every single week and people were fussing. The different managers within our organization would be fussing at each other. I will never forget the incident where we had a guy that had come to work with us that was a pen clicker, and he would sit there and he would click his pen over and over and over and over. And another one of our managers reached over and smacked his hand down on the table in a very somewhat violent way. But it was that kind of meeting. It was a management meeting. It was about everybody wanting to get their own way. It was about creating systems. It was about creating processes. There was nothing leadership driven about it to empower our people to be better. And I never even really realized that was a thing until we hired a sales manager that I learned so much from. She was absolutely extraordinary. And the first day that she came in to meet with her sales staff, this was back in the days when Coca-Cola had the labels with people's names on them. Do you remember this?
I don't think I'm that old.
Yes, you are. Excuse me, you're older than I am. Yes, Coca-Cola did this whole thing about it was your Coke and it had your name on it, or it said funny things like star or superstar or whatever.
Yes.
She had gone to the store. She had gotten, they said superstar on all of these Cokes. She had done Starburst candies. She did all of these things. And she came into this meeting empowering people to be successful as salespeople and figuring out how to motivate and how to influence. And I can look back now at that meeting and I thought, wow, I am going to do whatever she tells me to do. I am going to sit here. I am going to be quiet and I'm going to listen to her and I'm going to follow her lead. And it served me really well because I learned so much from her because she empowered me as a person. She empowered me as a salesperson, just absolutely phenomenal leader. And I can remember sitting in that meeting and thinking about what a dichotomy that was between our management meetings and between our sales meetings. And I continued to see this change over time. And it's what made me think, okay, I want to be a leader and not a manager.
I guess then it's wrong to pull a bunch of people together, tell them what they need to do, and say, the reason is because I said so.
Right? That would be not leading. And if you ask questions, which drives you nuts that I ask questions all the time, but that's the way to not do that.
That's the way to not say, I said so.
Right. Then you take ownership of it.
That's right. I'm thinking back to my early days in the business. That never resonated with me because you worked for me and I said so. Now, I didn't have that type of boss. My boss was my dad and a few other people along the way in my first 10 years. And I've talked a lot about being given space and being given freedom. And it is frustrating as an owner of a business who takes the financial risk, who puts in the sweat equity, and you now grow and you hire people. And what we're talking about is this leadership versus management, and you're wearing both hats. And it does get frustrating that you then hire these people, give them jobs, give them benefits, give them a great, healthy environment, do all these things. And then you still have to figure out how to motivate them, continue to help them grow and do all these things. I'm saying this to the business owners, the agency owners out there. You're going to go through this roller coaster ebb and flow of being frustrated about why do I have to do this next thing? Why do I have to treat Sally different than Sue and Joe different than Peter, and why do I have to lead them where they are? And this is one of those things that I learned through coaching, especially coaching female sports, young females, 10U, 12U, 14U, all the way up through 18U. I learned this. All female athletes are not the same emotionally. Does that shock you, Tanya?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. So, guess what? All male athletes are not the same emotionally either.
Very much touche. Agree. Think about being this 35 to 45-year-old dad coaching all these young athletes, and you just want to say sometimes, do it because I said so, which gets you nowhere. Let me just say from my own experience, what gets you moving forward, makes your business better, what gives your people this motivating thing where they want to run through a brick wall for you is giving them ownership and giving them responsibility and then leading them to a successful path. That may be different from one person to the next. I have said plenty of things in the wrong tone in my life, but leadership is about making sure you say things in the right tone more times than not, and you take deep breaths and you think about what you're about to say to this person or these people, and how you say it will make a ton of difference.
I'm about to get all warm and fuzzy on you. How you say it to yourself makes a ton of difference.
I knew you were going to go there and we were going to get all into our feelings today.
But seriously, there are so many times I have heard people say things about themselves. And I'm like, you would never say that about anybody you care about. You would never say that about your family. You would never say that about the people that work with you. Why in the world would you say it that way about yourself?
Our agency owners, this is a great thing to listen to. If you're surviving and growing and starting an independent agency from scratch and you're getting it off the ground and you're growing it to a level and you grow it to another level, look, you did something. I had the privilege of having about an hour's long conversation with an older agency owner just in the last couple of weeks. And they were not a member of our agency network, met them at a conference. They started a captive agency in 1992. And then in 2009, decided they were going to break out on their own. They didn't like the direction of that particular organization that they had built an agency with. Very successful agency, by the way, in the captive system. They decided to sell it, get out, cold turkey, start an independent agency. And today, that agency is about a $20 million agency in terms of written premium. Fantastic. 100% personal lines, doesn't even do any commercial lines business. And as I was talking with him, I was just like jaw dropped in just amazement because of just what he has built. The most humbled man, I said, what you've done is absolutely amazing. You're in the 1/10 of the 1%. He's done it by himself, single owner, started at zero, started as a solopreneur twice. And it's things like that point to this leadership ability and management ability, and then his understanding that those are definitely two different things.
I'm looking at a chart right now that has the five major differences between leadership and management. And one of them says that management is designed to focus on establishing stability, where leadership is designed to focus on inspiring change.
We need our managers. As leaders, we need our management brain with our leadership brain. Otherwise, you will be what I was for about 15 years. You will be running around in circles, driving your people crazy because all you're doing is changing. And when I finally had some strong leaders around me say, it would be nice to not have to change XYZ right away. The people that worked with me, unfortunately, had to deal with me going on vacation and having think time, idea time. There was a period of 8 to 10 years there in our world where people dreaded me being gone and coming back from vacation because there was going to be something new. There was going to be a new idea. There was going to be a new whatever. Here's our next gazillion-dollar endeavor. And it took a little maturing on my part. It took a little self-examination and, okay, where are my strengths? And believe it or not, Tanya, what are my weaknesses?
There's one. There's just one.
Yeah, no, there's a lot. Yeah, let's just leave it at that. But there's one times however many there really are. There's a lot. Once you understand what those weaknesses are and you're honest with yourself, not beating yourself up, but you're just honest about, look, okay, maybe I'm not so good at this part over here. Maybe I'm really better at this other thing. Then if you're changing to change, which is what a lot of leadership mindset does without the management complement. And if you have good, strong management people around you, you're really going to win. When I started putting together our leadership team in 2017, 2018, I called it a leadership team, not a management team, because I wanted them to develop, yes, the management skill set, but I wanted our leadership teams to be individual leaders in their respective areas of the company. I wanted to be able for them to see the management implementation that's necessary. But I just believe that people need more leadership in their lives than they do management. The reason that I understood this is because I understood my own weakness as a manager. And once you understand your strengths and weaknesses, you either hire for it or you develop it in yourself as you go.
This chart that I'm looking at also says that leadership is formulated on principles and guidelines, where management is formulated on policies and procedures. Now, both of those things are super important. As a leadership team, and if you've ever listened to our podcast before, you've heard us talk about core values and the fact that we lead based on those principles and guidelines, based on those core values. And that's how we encourage our team members to make decisions. Now, could we create a policy and procedure every single time that something came up? Yes. And we would have an albatross of an employee how-to handbook thing that nobody would ever read, so it would never get used. But 99% of the challenges that pop up, if you put them through our core values, our people come up with the right solutions.
If you're NASA, you need really strong procedures and you need checklists beyond checklist. And you really don't want people coming up with their own ideas in the middle of space flight. The first thing as you're talking that I'm coming up with is I'm thinking about, was it Apollo 13, the movie, Houston, We Have a Problem? And obviously it was real and the movie was based on the real thing. But there's also Hidden Figures. It's the calculations for reentry. And these are very procedural things that you don't want people ad-libbing or coming up with their own answer to the certain situation. As a customer-facing retail business, we deal with the consumer or the business owner, and it's not always going to be you. And you can't procedure that. You just flat out can't get everything covered. You can't think of every situation to actually do it. Otherwise, this procedure book is going to make the Sears catalog look like a pamphlet. That's the procedure book that it's going to be. But if you create core values that teach your people, this is what I would do. You want them to think how you would think. You want them to answer the question in a way that you would answer the question. But you can never get them to answer the question how you're going to answer the question. They're a different personality. They grew up in different surroundings. You didn't all grow up in the same household. Not everyone was taught the same things at the age of 3, 4, 5 years old. We all have different backgrounds. We all come from different places, but the core values can be learned. The core values can be adopted, and people can learn to filter the situation through the core values you create and deliver an outcome that is both great for the customer experience and great for the business. And that's the whole point. And that's why you need leadership and you need management. And they are the two different things. But you can't procedure to death everything and expect to have a really great culture, a really fun place to work, a place where you don't have a bunch of churn and employees. It just doesn't work.
Integra has 23 collegiate athletes that serve as brand ambassadors for us. And we introduced the idea of core values to them last semester and have seen the evolution of thought. And we have asked them over the last several months to look at things in a different way, to look at things through the lens of their core values. And they're making social media posts about them. And to me, it's been incredible to see how these 23 women, who are all from extraordinarily different backgrounds, different parts of the country, different socioeconomic groups, but how they have come together around the idea of these core values and applying them in completely different ways, but it's extraordinarily cohesive.
It's been nothing short of amazing to see 18 to 20-year-olds grab a hold of something and make it their own. One of the things that you've certainly guided them in is make your social media post your own within the lens or through the filter of the lens of the core values. That's part of this leadership versus management discussion and why they are two different things. You, Tanya, as the lead on the NIL program with this group of athletes, You could have taken a management approach. You could have said, check these boxes, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But what you did is you gave them a framework and the core values for them to then filter through the lens of their own experiences. My favorite recently was the Women's History or Women in History post. There were several that chose their mother. There was several that chose their teammates. I just thought that particular campaign by those athletes was just incredible. We've seen a lot of good things come from them, but that one was just the growth from the fall to now in the spring. It was just very eye-popping to me.
And originally, you thought I was going to give them, like, these are the posts we want you to make. Make this one by the 15th. Make this one by the 30th. And that's what most people that have brand ambassadors do. They send them the scripts. This is what we want you to post. And I really wanted this to be a growth opportunity for them, because us being told what to do doesn't give any opportunity to grow. And I'm always like, well, if it doesn't work, then we can always go back and fix it and tell them what to post. That's easy to go back, but it's not easy to start there and then teach people how to grow. Give people the opportunity as a leader to grow, to figure out their own way of doing it within parameters. And it will be amazing that your people are going to outshine anything that you thought they were going to do.
Leadership is also about extending trust first. The idea that, okay, we're going to extend trust to 18 to 23 year olds and say, here's the framework, get after it. It's a little nerve wracking, but it's also been amazing to see that when that trust is extended and they understand the core values, because you're showing them the core values, you're living the core values, and you're not just talking about them. You tell them why the core values were created. You tell them where they came from. And even in our case, the people that the core values were created by observing. And you just watch these young women grab a hold of this thing and go, they trust me. I don't want to mess this up. We dealt with them being confident in themselves and them being willing to put themselves out there. And that's part of that growth. It's been more than we could ever have expected it to be, but it's because it was a leadership approach and not a traditional management approach. And extending that trust first is so hard to do for a lot of business agency owners, because it's your baby. This business, you put in the sweat equity, and it's no way can I turn this thing over into the hands of other people. They're not going to care about it the way we're going to care about it. That actually is not true if you do your job as a leader. We have some people, thank goodness that we have these people, and some on our leadership team and some not on our leadership team, and they are so protective of the brand and who we are and what we do and of me personally. That is a thing that we recognize from a leadership standpoint, is that's what you get by extending trust first. And that is super hard for a lot of us, because we've had our heart broke, we've had people dumped on us, people treated us wrong, whatever the case may be. And we have trust issues, societal trust issues. I'm telling you as a business leader, an agency owner, that you need to extend trust first, and you're going to be sitting there going, oh my gosh, how do I do that? Why would I do that? I thought trust was earned. Trust is earned. Somebody's got to extend the trust. And I'm saying leadership should be extending the trust first.
I will never forget, I had been working with you for about 6 months, and I was having a call with one of our partner agents. And I don't know how this happened, but it was like Christmas Eve. It was like the morning of Christmas Eve, and they were wanting to have a call. Oh, I know why. It was because we were doing their goal setting for the next year, and they wanted to go over everything before Christmas because they were taking time off. And we went through their goals for the next year. We went through the plan of how to hit those goals. And I was ending the call, and he stopped me and he said, aren't you proud of me? I paused for a minute and I was like, what? And he's, you didn't tell me you were proud of me. And I was thinking, okay. And so I did the whole, I am so proud of you. It's going to be a great year. I did the whole pep talk thing. And I was thinking, okay, as a business owner, I don't own your business. I'm not your boss. I'm not that person. So it didn't even strike me that would be a positioning that I should take to this day. Like every once in a while, I'll hear him say, aren't you proud of me? Or aren't you going to tell me you're proud of me? And he was sincere. This was something he actually needed to hear from me as someone he saw in a leadership role. Sometimes we forget that too, is we see people doing what they're supposed to do, and we think, okay, wow, they did a great job with that. And we say, great job. But sometimes people need to hear, hey, I'm really proud of you. Or I will use the term, I'm really proud for you, if it's something I wasn't involved in. But letting them know that, hey, yeah, it was fantastic. I'm proud for you.
There's a section in a book, ironically called The 1 Minute Manager. It's an old book from the 80s, maybe early 90s. Concept is catch people doing something right. You think about this, you're busy, you're a business owner, you're running ragged, you're just, especially since you're probably the rainmaker, if you're the agency owner, you're just running 100 miles an hour all the time. And you have these people that you've hired that you really need to develop and nurture and do all those things that sometimes I poke fun of, but you have to do them. That's what has to happen. And we generally, in those roles, we find ourselves only really talking to these individuals when something goes wrong. And so the concept in that 1 Minute Manager book was very simply catch people doing something right and tell them. And I'm terrible at this. You go to work for me. Sometimes I try to tell people, especially if I sense that they are the personality that needs the pep talks. And many people do. I need pep talks sometimes. I sometimes tell them, look, I'm not the emotional guy. I'm not going to always be the pat on the back kind of guy. But it's a development thing for me that I try to get better at. I really do. I really try to get better at this. But if you think about it intentionally, try to catch people doing something right. It will change things in the attitude realm for your people immensely.
I'm going to leave us today with this quote from Vince Lombardi. Coaches who can outline plays on a blackboard are a dime a dozen. The ones who win get inside their players and motivate.
Attitude's a choice. Make a great one.
Bye, y'all.
Ready to get the ball rolling with your independent agency? Learn more at IntegraAgent.com. That's IntegraAgent.com. Thank you for joining us on IA Forward. Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now, or learn more at IAForward.com. We'll be right back.